And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here at Applebee's in the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. And on the corner today, this is our final Coach's Corner of the season. Been a great year for the corner. And we will, of course, take a sabbatical until the end of August when high school sports season gets going, of course, with fall sports. But this is our final show of the year. We hope to go out with a bang here today. And here on Coach's Corner, as I'm your host, Dave Watson, we'll have Sioux High Baseball head coach Chris Bontrager stopping by, or actually we'll play an interview from earlier in the week with Chris, and also Scott Nason, the voice of Sioux Eagles hockey, along with the host of the game over on News Talk 1400. We'll stop by, we'll talk Eagles hockey and some other things with Scotty, and Scotty also will stick around as I unveil the Prof Lunch Pail crew of my all-time favorite Blue Devils through the course of the broadcasting Blue Devil sports. Go back to the late 90s of girls basketball, and I compiled a list, and we'll unveil that later on here on Coach's Corner. And my hope is every year we'll add to it and, of course, go through it at the end of Coach's Corner, at the last episode of Coach's Corner every season. All that, much more, but first to the scores that matter from last night. Sioux Eagles hockey at home at the Puller Stadium squeaked out a nail biter at the Puller in the downtown Sioux last night, 2-1 over the Greater Sudbury Cubs. Eagles are home to the Sioux Thunderbirds tonight, 7 o'clock over our News Talk 1400. Scott Nason and Rob Horn with the call. T-Birds were off last night. Other Noge scores from last night, it was Elliott Lake dumping Kirkland Lake 5-2, Espinola blank Cochran 6-0, and Hearst a shootout win 2-1 past Timmins. College hockey, boy, there's been some really good college hockey games. March Madness has been great, but college hockey certainly not taking a back seat here in the last few days with their NCAA regionals going on. Michigan yesterday in regional semifinal play in Allentown, Pennsylvania. They doubled up on American International 5-3 at the Midwest Region semis. Michigan 5-3 winners. They'll take on Quinnipiac tomorrow as Quinnipiac eked out a 5-4 win over St. Cloud State in the other Midwest Region semifinal in Allentown. Michigan and Quinnipiac tomorrow, 6:30. They'll drop the puck in the Midwest Region final for the right to go to the Frozen Four in Boston. In the Northeast Region semis, Western Michigan skated past Northeastern 2-1 in overtime. It was the Broncos' first ever win in NCAA tournament hockey. That surprised me because they've been in a lot of NCAA tournaments over the years. And, you know, back in the Bill Wilkinson days, I know Jeff Blashill took them there in his 1 year with the Broncos. But they've never won an NCAA tournament game until yesterday, and the Broncos win that one yesterday, 2-1 in the Northeast region. They're the number one seed in that region. Western Michigan now will take on Minnesota, who defeated UMass in overtime in Worcester, Massachusetts. The defending national champion went down, and the Golden Gophers winning that 4-3 in overtime. So it's Minnesota and Western Michigan for the right to go to Boston. That will be tomorrow in Worcester, Massachusetts at 4 p.m. Today in the West Region title game in Loveland, Colorado, Minnesota Duluth will take on Denver, 4 o'clock. The East Region final, I'm looking forward to this one, 6:30 drop of the puck at the old Knickerbocker Arena, and now it's some other type of the MVP Arena, they call it now in Albany. And Notre Dame will take on Minnesota State, 6:30. They'll drop the puck there. Frozen Four will be set for Boston, Massachusetts on Thursday, April 7th. With the semifinals at 5 and 8:30, national championship game at 8 o'clock on the 9th. That is a Saturday as well. They take next week off to get away from the basketball Final Fours. Sioux Greyhounds off last night. They're home to Windsor tonight, 6:35 over on Rock 101 with Jerry Liskum Jr. at the mic tomorrow at 2:35 against Windsor again with Jerry at the mic. Make that 1:35 with the pregame show. They'll drop the puck at about 2:07 at the GFL Memorial Gardens in OHL hockey. Now around the O we go. London derailed Owen Sound 7-3. Kitchener nipped Guelph 5-4. Owen Sound slipped past Barrie 3-2. Saginaw wins a high-scoring game over Sarnia 9-8. Sudbury trips Hamilton 4-3. And Kingston hangs on over Mississauga 2-1. Ottawa buries Peterborough 9-4. On to the basketball floor. Boys basketball state finals going on at the Breslin Center. Yesterday at the Breslin Center in the semifinals at MSU Division I, Warren D. LaSalle dribbled past Grand Rapids Northview 59-45. Grand Blanc, the defending champions in Division I, they defeated Bellevue by a score of 61-40. Division II, Grand Rapids Catholic runs past Ferndale 82-71. Williamston shoots past Freeland 65-45. Today, the championship games, Division IV going on right now. One of the UP teams, two UP teams in the boys basketball finals today. And first time that's happened since 1995. One of them is a team that beat Rudyard earlier this week, UN Trout Creek. They're taking on Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian. That game going on in the Breslin Center in Division IV for the Division IV title. And then Warren D. LaSalle will take on Grand Blanc for the Division I title, and they will tip off at 12:15. Grand Blanc's defending champions. Warren D. LaSalle battling them today in Division I at 12:15. Then Division III, the other UP team that is in it, Menominee, in the Division III state championship. They'll take on Schoolcraft at 4:30 with the tip there. They'll close it out with Division II. Grand Rapids Catholic Central will battle unbeaten Williamston. They will tip off at MSU at 6:45. Division II college basketball women's national championship last night. Glenville State downed Western Washington 85-72. The men's Division II national championship today at 3 o'clock in Evanston, Illinois. Northwest Missouri State will battle Augusta 3 o'clock on CBS. Lake State men and women's tennis at Ferris State today. They're underway. They started those matches at 10 a.m. in Big Rapids. Going on for Laker tennis. Those are the scores that matter when we return here on Coach's Corner, presented by Applebee's, as we are here at Applebee's in the sports bar. They're open for lunch. And of course, they have the TVs on for all the great sports action that you can handle here today. Stop by and grab a bite to eat, and if you're of age, perhaps a sarsaparilla, and they will take care of you here at Applebee's. When we return here on Coach's Corner, you'll hear from the head coach of Sioux High Baseball, Chris Bontrager, as Blue Devil Baseball, they'll start playing here soon downstate, because we're not playing anywhere near the EUP right now with all the snow on the ground, but Blue Devil Baseball is commencing here soon, and we'll talk to Chris Bontrager coming up here on Coach's Corner. We're back in 2 minutes here on 1230 WSOO. Welcome back to Coach's Corner, presented by Applebee's here on 1230 WSOO. I'm Dave Watson, and with us now is Sioux High Baseball head coach Chris Bontrager. It's that time of year, as Blue Devil Baseball has already started as far as to commence for the season. They picked their team, so we say good morning to Chris. Thanks for stopping by Coach's Corner as always, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Now, of course, the Blue Devil baseball season is up and running, and of course, you know, Chris, you're not able to practice outdoors as we look outside here today, the big picture window, and that's, of course, a lot of snow on the ground. We're used to that situation, but tell us how preparations have gone so far.
Oh, they've been pretty good. We had a pretty good turnout for tryouts, and probably more than the amount of kids that showed up was the quality of kids that showed up this year, and the focus. So it was a really good first week, and I feel like we're actually ahead of the game in the gym for the first time in a few years.
Tell us who's on the Blue Devil varsity squad for 2022 this spring.
Well, we got some names that people will probably remember. We'll start up top here with senior Jacob Davey, senior Jonah DiNuccio McShane. Then we also have senior Jack Buchan, senior Dryden Bergeron, and another senior, Ian Earl. And then we've got a huge junior class this year. We start with a returner, Matt Lumsden, his brother Josh Lumsden, Demvey McCord comes aboard this year, Ethan Adair, Ethan McDonald, Dominic Haller, and then we've got four sophomores that we pulled up this year that I think can really help and contribute. Avery Wilson, Garrett Gorsuch, Ethan Chambers, and Michael Bontrager.
Now, you know, you look at the team there, Chris, and, you know, last year, a very young team. You mentioned that junior-laden class. They were all sophomores. A good portion of them were on the team. And now, as juniors, you look at, I think that's just, you know, obviously you'd like to have more veterans, but that helps in the process Sioux High Baseball is in right now, because now they're juniors and have a year of varsity, in some cases maybe 2 years, of varsity baseball under their belt.
Yeah, especially the two Lumsden boys, Josh and Matt, were a really big part of things last year as juniors.
It really got better as the season went on.
Yeah, they did. Actually, both of them ended up getting all-conference honors last year, and I believe they both ended up with honorable mention all-district. So, you know, we look for them to come back as juniors and really help us out this year. You know, Matt Lumsden is just so solid at second base, good top-of-the-order hitter, and then you got his brother Josh, who a lot of people don't expect it, but he packs a lot of punch with the bat, and he throws pretty hard.
Now, you know, you mentioned the veterans, and, you know, you have some kids, and one in particular, and, of course, everybody that listens to Blue Devil games and or even Coach's Corners know, you know, what I think of this young man, and I'm not alone. And then Jake Davey never played, you know, organized baseball, to my understanding, until last year. He was more of a soccer player, his choice, that kind of thing. But great athlete he is. He can pretty much go to anything. And just his maturation process as the season started, you know, a little rusty, but I was just stunned how he just flipped the switch. And, you know, it's like that kid's a baseball player towards the end, and obviously you couldn't take him out of the lineup.
Yeah, he was by far the most improved last year. We gave him that award. And, I mean, like you said, it was fun to watch him start. I mean, he's such a hard worker, right? Oh. Like, he fits in really good with the group of sophomores and a lot of the juniors, for that matter, and the fact that, you know, this is a group that just wants to work, and I think that's going to fit with Jake even better this year. I think you're going to see some real growth out of him, and then the leadership ability, right? Of all these seniors, you know, Jack and Ian, you know, Jonah, Jacob, and Dryden there, they've been a part of this program now and been, you know, through a lot of the butt kickings to get to the point, hopefully as seniors, where they can start putting some W's on the board.
And the thing I look at with Jake, and it's just a domino effect to you know, everybody else buys in. You know, like, you know what, this guy knows what he's doing. You know, he cares, and it just is a good rallying cry for everybody else. And not every year you can get that. I mean, and that's a special kid, that when you get that kind of player, that's what I always say. You know, I don't, you know, don't look at it as far as just the straight bones of the fact that this is a kid that, yeah, he's undersized, but the heart certainly isn't. And just the leadership ability, and everybody else just responds, and they want to go through anything with him. And you see that, like, him and the Nooch had that great basketball run with the basketball players. Several of your players are on that. Football, they've been obviously very successful. And that just, you know, really makes things easier when you have a leader like that. Then, like you said, then other guys step up, and like Jonah and as you mentioned, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's probably the biggest thing I'd characterize Jacob with is not even his athleticism. I mean, he's very athletic and can do multiple sports, but his leadership, right? And it's really genuine. It's not something that's forced or something that's fake. He just genuinely cares about the other kids and cares about the sport, and he finds a way to lift the players around him.
Chris Bontrager, Sioux High baseball coach, with us here is Blue Devil baseball season is upon us. We'll get into the schedule here in a moment. Of course, we'll have several games of Blue Devil baseball and softball here on the official radio home of Sioux High Athletics, 1230 WSOO. I'll make my trek out onto the road with the team here and meet them in places that the snow is dispersed. Hopefully by towards the end of April, we hope to have some games on the air. And of course, as soon as we can get on the James Field, we'll do as many games as we can from home as well. But you look at this team, Chris, and logistically, what kind of team do you see this Sioux High team being? Aggressive on the base pads, you know, offensively, you know, we've seen, you know, how you guys are not afraid to try to manufacture runs. Sometimes you had to do that last year with the young team you have. But what kind of team are we looking at?
Same thing, right? We're going to manufacture runs like we can. It's kind of just the way that I've preached baseball to a lot of these kids. I've had them in Little League growing up. Is defensively, we want to make the plays in front of us. You know, pitching staff, just throw strikes. Defense, make the plays that are in front of you. And then offensively, just have a quality at bat, right? Each kid only is going to get 2-3 of them a game. So you got to make those at bats count. And when you get on the base pass, push it a little bit, right? Make the other team make a play, because 9 times out of 10 in high school, they like to make mistakes and throw it around a little bit. So if you put them in that position, a lot of times they'll help you out.
Who's with you on your coaching staff this year?
We had a few changes this year. So we got one guy coming back that everybody will remember, and that's Brett Hibbard. He's been with me since the beginning. He was with Shane with us too. Yep. So, and then Eric Samuelson, he's been down on JV the last couple years, and he's come up on varsity to help out. And then, you know, we'll have some of the young kids around, like Avery Snyke, Logan Bailey. Some of those guys will be in when their schedule, work, and class allow it. And then we had a change at the JV level this year. Ryan Maurer is now the head coach down there. Jordy had to step away for a year here and get some things in order, so he's taking care of that. And he's got a cast of new characters that he brought on. I told him he could bring his own staff on if he wanted. I'm not going to stop him.
Right. So
he's got Coach Medrick down there helping him, Coach Hills, and then Coach McKee. So he's got a whole new staff down there.
Schedule-wise, for the Blue Devils, of course, the hope is to be able to get on the field on the road to start the season Thursday, April 14th at Traverse City Central, and then the 16th, Muskegon Oak Ridge. And right now, of course, this is going to be rescheduled that they have April 19th at home against Gaylord. That's not going to happen. I'll go on FanDuel and put some odds on that. That's not going to happen. That's why they try to stack the schedule as much as you can in May, because of, you know, it's not conducive to where we're at unless we have a good thaw and not as harsh as a winter. And we had a harsh winter. Looked like we're having a thaw a week ago, but as we do this interview, of course, we got socked again the other day. But you know, it's the UP and what you expect. So that game probably would be those games probably would be rescheduled. And then the 21st of April, Traverse City West. And then my hope is to be in Frankfurt with you guys when you play in the Frankfurt tournament. And you have St. Agnes, of course, Escanaba on the road. Hopefully, you know, May 2nd, it's possible, would be home against Newberry. Gaylord St. Mary's would be home. Sheboygan, probably another road trip I'll make, as you'll play the Chiefs. Very good program. Probably should have went farther than they did. I listened to that district final on the way back from doing the softball district last year when they lost to Escanaba, and that was a crazy game. And Alpena probably will try to make the trek for that tournament on the 7th as well. And then Rudyard is home on the 9th. And Bulldogs, a very good program Billy Mitchell has. Pickford on the road. These are most, of course, double headers as they play in high school baseball. Pickford on the road on the 12th. That's Thursday, May 12th. And then May 13th has been swapped. It's going to be Marquette on the road. And a makeup date perhaps in there on May 19th. They'll probably need that. And then Friday, the 20th of May, Marquette is at home. And Brimley is here on the 21st, the Bays will come in to take on the Blue Devils. And then Roger City on Monday, May 23rd, is on the road. Thursday, Petoskey at home, and that will close out the regular season. Of course, there'll be all kinds of different, you know, we're dealing with the elements, so there'll be all kinds of changes, and you know, we're used to that. Last year, I hope to get out there with you guys, and I think five times it got postponed or whatever. That's just the way it is and what we got to deal with. But that's the regular season schedule. We'll talk about the district tournament in a moment and some good news on that, that Suhai's turn is coming up. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Chris, your thoughts on that schedule? A pretty good balanced schedule.
Yeah, it's a gauntlet to start. I mean, I was kind of joking with the team. I think we're a part of the Big North. We just don't get to play any home games. So
right.
But it'll be good for us, right? That'll get us in shape for district, and that's good baseball. And then we get to go down to Muskegon Oak Ridge again this year, which is it's always a treat going down there. That's one of the best programs in the state.
Yeah,
they're always, you know, if they don't make the Final Four, they're disappointed, right? If they lose in the quarters, it's a bad year. So
the last real strong team Suhai had coming off that quarterfinal matchup, a really good regional game that they were able to win in a back and forth battle. I remember I was there calling the game in Gaylord, I think Shane's last year. And so they are a pinnacle program. That's great to have a team like that on there.
Yeah, they're a great program. They do it year in and year out. They got a great coach. Brandon Berry's a really good guy. And ever since we've played them a couple years there in the playoffs, we've kind of made it a point to make sure that we could play each other throughout the schedule. And year after year, they've come through and hosting us, which gives us a chance to get down there and play in a little nicer weather, too. So that's kind of nice in the spring.
Yeah, you get to southern Michigan, those fields are usually ready to go and look pristine. You know, where we still have snow on the field up here, but that's just the way things go. So it's nice to be able to get down there and hopefully get some games in. District tournament this year will be held at the James Field for baseball, and it's Suhai's turn to host. It's been a few years since they've hosted, and it's always fun to host that. And you know, we say, well, we hope the field's ready by then, but it better be by June, by early June, late May. But that will be nice to have that in the Sioux this year, especially with the team what you have here, a team I think that will be a lot more competitive and be able to really compete with some strong teams in that district.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't think our district probably gets the respect that it should get throughout the state. But, you know, when you put Escanaba and Sheboygan and then, you know, the Sioux in it, I think that's three really respectable programs. And
Marquette's improved.
Kingsford's really
look good at times.
Yeah, Marquette's really come along. They've done a really nice job with their summer program, too. So they've put some time into baseball, and it just strengthens the district, right? But I think we do have the kids that can compete here. So, you know, we've got a really good mix of the seniors, juniors, and then the sophomores that we're bringing up are, you know, four very talented sophomores. Otherwise, they wouldn't be up. They're, you know, a couple of them are probably going to be the biggest kids on our team just physically. And, you know, they put the time in, and I think they're going to help add a good mix to the team this year.
Chris Bontrager, Sioux High baseball coach, with us as they get ready in preparations for the season. Of course, we'll have Blue Devil baseball and Blue Devil softball here in the official radio home of Sioux High Athletics, Radio Sioux, coming up here in hopefully a month or so. I'll head out on the road for baseball. We'll get a few games in, and hopefully in May we'll be able to be home. But we'll get selected games on, and for folks to enjoy if you can't make it out to the ballpark or what have you as the season goes on. And lastly, before I let Chris get going, and of course he brought a hat in for me, we appreciate that. We of course like free swag, and I'm a hat guy anyways, always, because I got no salad up on the dome, so I better cover it, especially if I'm out in the elements and the sun's coming out and we got a hot day. But this year, along with the white block S on it, and I figured you guys would do this, it's a very good gesture, and that's the legendary baseball coach at Sioux High, Hall of Famer that everybody remembers, Nerds, Tony Nertroli, who was still around the program all the way up to the end. Of course, talking to him a lot of times last year in Alpena and some different places, as it's you know, about 35 degrees, and we're talking before a game, bundled up, you know, talking outside the dugout. And Tony, of course, always around the program. We lost Tony, unfortunately, of course, in the late fall, I think about Thanksgiving Day, if I recall. And, you know, I put I sat down, I tried to think of all the good things to remember what Tony was. And everybody remembers Blue Devil baseball. And when you think of Sioux High baseball, Tony Nertroli is right at the top of the list. You know, the Blue Devil baseball wouldn't have the success probably what he's done. He's a Hall of Fame coach, but he was a Blue Devil. I mean, this is a guy that went to basketball games. He volunteered many years as the game clock operator at the Van Sitters Field, and that's not an easy job to do. No. And I would not want it, because that clock always has a time to screw up. And of course, you got all the fans turning around looking at you, and Tony did it, and did it for many years, and he was a Blue Devil, but mainly of course with baseball. And they're honoring Nerds with Nert 27 they have stitched into the side of the hats, and I knew you guys would do that. Of course, what a great guy he was. And talk a little bit about Tony.
Tony, where do you start with him? Tremendous man. Probably did more in this community for the young athletes than people will ever know. You know, so good at doing things behind the scenes and just keeping them quiet, just to better the kids, right? And I think that's probably why he should be remembered. So we put his name on the hat, and then we also got new jerseys this year and put a nice memorial patch on the sleeves for him, too.
Cool.
You know, he just, you know, not only to the community, to the athletes, but he did mean so much to Blue Devil baseball. You know, up until a few weeks before he passed there, I was still calling him every couple of weeks, and we'd just talk baseball, talk starting lineup for next year already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he lived and breathed Blue Devil baseball. And so anything we can do to honor him with the hats and the jerseys is just, it's our honor to do it for him.
Here's a guy that he retires, and a lot of times they ride off into the sunset, and it's unheard of anymore for a guy or a gal to coach as long as he did, and the success he had and all that, and do it in when you have a lot of the deck stacked against you at times with, of course, elements and things of that nature. But he did it. He put together some really good baseball players and some great teams. But at the same time, he came back. And he came back, I remember, with the JV program. Shane, I think, brought him back in. And always with the Little League. And it wasn't just Sioux High Baseball. It was Sioux Baseball. It was Sioux Area Little League. And then, of course, came back as an assistant with Chris and the Blue Devil varsity staff. But he always was around, and he cared about developing young players.
Yes, very much so. And developing young men.
Great tag onto that.
Yeah, he was awesome to have in the dugout. He's going to be truly missed. Just as a coach, it was nice to bounce ideas off of him. Obviously, he was a book of so much knowledge that we could, rely on as a young coach. And but he was also that for the kids too, right? Like it was nice to have him in the dugout because he could take kids one at a time individually and explain the process and the mistakes that were made and how to fix them. And he always just had that quiet way of taking care of things, and just a huge hole that's going to be missing in the program.
Well, he, and a lot of times, you'll have it, especially now with today's younger people, they don't, respond to the generational, people that, they look up to, that you think they would look up to, in a guy like Tony's case, an elder statesman, if you will, but, your players did. And they looked at him, and when he spoke, they were ready to listen. I remember I was in Traverse City for baseball last year, and, I have more gear I have to have for than the other sports, my own table, long extension cord. So I'm packing everything up, and it's, 22 degrees, at 7:30 at night down the Cherry Capital, and I have no problem making two trips or whatever, to bring the equipment to the car, and the car is a little ways away, and he turns and says, "Dave, you need help with that equipment." I said, "Oh, I got it, Tony." He said, no, he yells about four or five players, and they right away come over. He goes, "Help Mr. Watson with his stuff." And I said, "I got it, guys." No, Nert spoke. So they right away, they did, and they couldn't have been, more gracious. But that's the kind of guy, Tony was, And it just spoke about the generational gap that it really wasn't with him because, he was beloved by players that, of course, were, 40, 50, and even more, younger than him. And that says a lot because you don't get that all the time.
No, and I think, like you said, it just speaks of Tony, right? The time, I think all the kids knew it, right? He was a legendary coach. He could have been done and gone, but he wasn't. He was still giving up every evening to be there in the gym with them, to be there in the cold dugout with them. And, we're lucky enough to have the type of kids that generates the respect. And Tony just had a way about him of communicating throughout different generations that, I hope I pick up some of that and learn from some of that on him. Because he just was, what a tremendous man.
Well, I think it's great you guys are honoring him. I knew you would, of course, how Tony meant to the area in Blue Devil baseball. Chris, thanks for coming on. I'm looking forward to the season, and we'll be out there with you calling games and looking forward for a good Blue Devil season. Let's make it a good one here with, of course, the districts here in the Sioux and make it a good run.
That's what we're hoping. That's what we're planning. Thanks for having us.
All right, thanks, Chris. That's Chris Bontrager here on Coach's Corner. We'll roll on with more Coach's Corner in a moment, presented by Applebee's here on 1230 WSOO. And we're back here on Coach's Corner. Of course, we are in the sports bar at Applebee's. As always, this is our final show of the season, and our good friend Scott Nason has joined us for our final segment, and we'll talk Sioux Eagles hockey and some other, of course, good sports stuff with Scotty, and he'll help me traverse through the Prof Lunch Pail crew that we're unveiling here today. Of course, all the Blue Devils that I've covered throughout the year, as far as throughout the years, these are my favorite players of the 20-plus years I've been broadcast in sports. Not necessarily the best players perhaps as far as stats wise, but these are hard-working blue-collar players. That's part of the Prof Lunch Pail crew rules. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but we say good morning to Scotty. And how you doing, sir?
Doing great, Dave. Always great to be on the corner. Season finale. It went by quick, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And certainly good to have the games happen. At the beginning of the year, or the season, I should say, there were still some questions. But knock on wood, everything's gone pretty much according to plan.
Yeah, and Scotty and I have one eye on the TV because UN Trout Creek in Division 4 is in overtime with Wyoming Triunity Christian for the Division 4 championship. Two UP teams in the finals this year, first time since 95. And Menominee will play later. Before we get Scotty's thoughts on, of course, boys basketball, Sioux Eagles hockey. They're going to have a lot of games in the Puller Stadium here in March before the postseason gets going. Great game last night against a team that, as you said, is becoming more of a rival in the Greater Sudbury. Eagles able to get the victory, and sounded like a real good hockey game.
It was a lot of fun. It was probably the most entertaining pre-COVID, or I should say post-COVID game that we've had at Puller Stadium. You know, the Sioux Eagles have locked up second place, so they're not going to move up or down in the standings, and they're going to have home ice advantage in their first round best of seven series that will start likely the second weekend of April. But Greater Sudbury, they're playing for third place because in the NLJHL playoff setup, the fourth place team has to play that best two out of three play-in series against the fifth place team. So, you know, going into the game, you know, Eagles didn't have anything as far as standings to play for, but you wouldn't have known it last night. That was a very entertaining game. That second period had all sorts of things happen. You had referees getting heckled by coaches and fans. You had a lot of nastiness on the ice. We did see one fight there in the third period, a pretty good one, but the Eagles with a 2-1 win, you know, the last three games they've played at the Puller have all been 2-1 games. They beat Blind River 2-1. They lost in a shootout to the Beavers 2-1. And last night, getting a couple second period goals from Colby Fox and Jack Mortson. Good goaltending last night for the Eagles. Ryan Gilmore getting the win. And it was a lot of fun. Good crowd at Puller Stadium, almost 600 fans there. And they certainly got their money's worth. Eagles still have four games left here in the regular season. Tonight against the Thunderbirds. Then they'll play next Monday, Friday, and Saturday before the playoffs start in April. But this is a good team, Dave. You know, the whole NLJHL West Division is very evenly matched. You know, the Thunderbirds have won 15 straight, and right now they're the favorites, but the Eagles have played them well this year, beating them four times, losing five. The Blind River series, eight games were played, Dave. The Eagles won five of them, all one goal games.
Wow.
And Greater Sudbury, it's 3-2 of the season series. So it's looking to be a real good playoff season, and it's good for the Eagles. You know, we haven't seen the NLJHL playoffs in 3 years.
Exactly.
Here in the Sioux. And so April and hopefully May will be a lot of fun at Puller Stadium.
Yeah, and though they're really the only game in town other than, you know, the Greyhounds, of course, for our friends on the north side of the St. Mary's. Jack Mortson, you mentioned him. He was on the corner last week.
Great interview.
Doug LaPrade, and great to have the Eagles on as always. And you'll have the game with Rob Horn tonight, 7 o'clock on News Talk 1400. And, of course, Sioux Eagles Hockey, the, of course, radio home of the Eagles with Scotty Nason and Rob Horn, as they have all the home games for you. And then you look at some other things around the hockey landscape. College hockey, you and I have been saying these have been great regionals here the last few days. Of course, they started the regionals on Thursday. And one thing they did with the regionals this year, Scotty, is that they took it where it's a situation where you play the semifinals, you get a day off, and then you play again. Something they wanted to do pre-COVID, but then COVID hit and they had to table it. The coaches really wanted it, and I think that's helped, you know, helping, you know, as far as the quality of play, because a lot of these games have gone to overtime. So I think it's really good for the players to get rest in between before you get to that regional final.
And it's nice as a viewer because you had four games starting at noon till, what, about 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, before, a lot of those games would kind of intermix and you'd have to flip over. So, yeah, as a viewer, I've been as entertained with the college hockey tournament as I have the NCAA basketball tournament. And the strength in college hockey certainly is in the western part of the country. One eastern team making it. And like you said before, Western Michigan, that was very shocking. That's their first ever tournament win. And, you know, you look at the NCAC doing very well in the tournament. Big Ten also doing very well. You kind of knew Michigan was going to more than likely get to the Frozen Four, and they still have to have a game one to get there. But Minnesota and Notre Dame, that Notre Dame game the other night, I mean, I still think that was a goal at the end of regulation, but apparently the clocks weren't synced up to whatever. But Notre Dame gets the win in overtime against a very good North Dakota team. So it's going to be a great couple days of college hockey. Today you have Minnesota, Duluth, and Denver, NCAC battle, and then Notre Dame, Minnesota State, the only CCHA team left. Then a pair of games tomorrow, and Frozen Four in Boston in a couple weeks.
And Duluth is going to be a tough out.
I
really like Michigan. Of course, how can you not? You know, they have, I think, 7 first-round draft picks. I think the first overall pick, second, like fifth, think it was.
Yep.
And so I think they're going to get there. Duluth's goaltending, I mean, that's a tough one there. And then you look at a situation with Notre Dame. That's a flip a coin, I think, with Minnesota State. And then you have Wisconsin or Western Michigan and Minnesota. In Western Michigan, you know, you and I both, you just mentioned, we're just stunned that this is their first NCAA tournament win, because they've been in about 4 or 5 of them. But, no, these games have been really good, and looking forward to the Frozen Four. Your thoughts on how basketball went this year as far as at the high school level here with our area teams, in particular in boys?
Well, certainly Rudyard had a good run, but as you're seeing right now, you and Trout Creek down 4 with a minute left in overtime. You know, that's a solid team, and Rudyard just didn't shoot the ball well in their quarterfinal, and you know, a lot of size advantage for you and Trout Creek. So certainly a great year for Rudyard. Next year, obviously they lose a lot with Bestman and Suggett, among others, but you know, they're still going to be a good program. Certainly the Suhai Blue Devils made a nice run at the end after a bit of a, maybe I guess you could say, subpar regular season. But
and they're going to be trending upwards.
Very much so. That sophomore class.
Pickford's going to be much better.
Yep, Pickford had a good year.
Look out for St. Ignace.
St. Ignace, yeah, with Johnny Ingles as well. You know, for the girls, obviously the story was Pickford, you know, making their first quarterfinal in over 30 years. So
that surprised me it was that long with them.
Yep, long time, and you know, St. Ignace is going to be there, but obviously a disappointing playoff for them. You know, Suhai girls, I expect them to be good next season. So I think overall, you know, the teams played very well in the EUP, and certainly next year will be a lot of fun.
How shocked were you with St. Peter's last night?
Oh, jeez. 15 seed. Now, when they beat Kentucky, that was a big upset, but that's happened before. You know, 15 seeds have beaten 2 seeds. Then they won the next game against Murray State. Maybe not a shock, but Murray State, a good 7 seed. And going into that game last night, you know, only 2 teams have ever been to this stage as a 15 seed. I believe Florida Gulf Coast and Oral Roberts, and both got, I think, hammered in their Sweet 16 game. But, you know, that's just a solid team. They play good defense. They hit their free throws. And their head coach, he may stay at St. Peter's, but he'll have a whole heck of a lot more options here this offseason. And I'm pulling for him against North Carolina. Hey, they're an 8 seed. They've beaten 3 seeds higher than that. Why wouldn't they win this one and make it to the Final Four?
You know, CBS and Turner's hoping for a North Carolina Duke Final Four.
100%.
But, you know, and it's a great story about St. Peter's, you know, from Jersey City, Jersey, one of the more impoverished cities in the country, and it's a small school. It's similar to Lake State, really, from what
I
was reading.
Right.
And as far as enrollment and, you know, their budgetary concerns and things of that nature, but it's the type of March Madness story, you know, you all love to see. And it's, you know, I'm hoping they can keep it going as well. We'll take a break and come back, and Scotty will of course help me here as we'll talk about the Prof Lunch Pail Crew. I'll unveil that coming up. This is my all-time Blue Devils of all the players that I've covered here for Suhai Sports in the last 20 plus years or so. We'll get into that when we return. And then, of course, say our goodbyes, all coming up back in 1 minute. This is Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Back on Coach's Corner as you and Trout Creek's down by 2 with 38 seconds to go. But a bucket there for Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian. They're giving it a good effort in overtime there in the Division IV Final in Boys Hoops. Dave Watson and Scott Nason, we're at Coach's Corner at Applebee's, our season finale of the corner. It's now time to unveil the Prof Lunch Pail Crew. This is, of course, my all-time favorite Blue Devils, and the criteria for this that I come up with is, you know, these may not be the type of players as far as, you know, that are the stat book stuffers, you know, and, you know, so I don't want, you know, someone to say, well, you know, you've got this person. Yep. These are ones that, blue-collar ones that catch your eye, where you're sitting at a game, Scott, and you're like, that kid hustles, and then they make an impact, and I've come up with a list, And a lot of these are really good athletes in other sports, but I put them in one list as far as one sport, and pretty much covers the whole shebang for that. We'll start with football, and this goes back from the late 90s up until 22, because as long as I've been covering Sioux High sports, and since 2005 been the primary for Blue Devil broadcasts. Football-wise, you remember this name perhaps, offensive lineman, and he was a Division I player at the University of Toledo, a great lineman for Sioux High, Chris Wakeman.
Absolutely, 100%.
He was a stud, yep. Too, in a lineman. And then you have the trio of brothers here, Pete, Eric, and Ben Formolo. I loved all three of them.
Good hockey players, too.
Great, you know, and baseball players.
Yep, baseball, yeah.
Great kids, just great guys, great family. And Zach and Chad Anderson, and, of course, just studs, and of course went on to play Canadian football.
Yep.
Chad played a little bit in the Arena League, as did Zach. Zach would still be playing, I think, if it wasn't for that knee injury.
Right.
Just a tremendous player in the CFL for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Nate LaJoy,
yes,
Michigan Tech.
Yep, good call.
Ogliak player who's a stud on both sides of the ball as a lineman. Kyle Root came from Brimley to Sioux High and was a tremendous running back. Led the Blue Devils to the playoffs in 2012, if you recall.
Remember that one.
They went to St. John's. Also a very good basketball player, was on that regional team for Sioux High in the regional final that they hosted the regionals here in the Sioux when they beat Standish Sterling and lost to Cadillac. Kyle, a very good athlete, and we have him on the football list. Raynell Anderson. And with Raynell, he was a player that you knew could get to that next level. And I remember he found that next level and found that gear in the 2013 season when Sheboygan came to town. You know, they were coming off a bad loss to St. Ignace. And he found that gear. And I remember he ran like a deer after, from the Sheboygan game on. I think, you know, he had close to 200 yards rushing, three or four touchdowns. I can still hear Jack Kuhn, the Sheboygan coach, screaming in the locker room, "I don't lose in this town." And Sioux High took him to the woodshed, and it was Raynell Anderson. And he had one of the outstanding individual efforts I saw that year. And I put him on the list, Raynell Anderson. Nick Dottrament, another college player.
Yep.
And Nick, a tremendous young man. I see him in the gym in the offseason. A very good athlete, very good football player. The final player, of course, he might be all-time lunch pail as far as my favorite lunch pail. I rave about him all the time, and you said, I know who will be on the list.
Yes, that was a guarantee.
Jake Davey.
Absolutely.
And a true winner, a great multi-sport athlete. Football, of course, is where he hangs his hat. He's going to play at Alma in college football. And hit two big free throws for basketball, and also a pretty good baseball player. And he only played, of course, structural baseball last year as his first year. He played soccer in his younger days, but pretty good three-sport athlete. And Jake Davey, of course, makes it in football for the Lunch Pail crew here. Girls basketball, Alice Ducing Nightingale. Annie Stanaway, I always liked Annie. She in the Ishpeming game against Ishpeming Westwood in the regional semis, they were down most of that game. She hit a couple critical threes, I remember, going back to 98. And Annie was the leader in that game when Alice and Becca Johnson normally were. But Annie Stanaway was tremendous. Becca Johnson on the Lunch Pail crew list. Becky Marcourt King. Liz Carr was a very good guard, very good defender for Sioux High. Allison Watchhorn back in 04 in Heather Cronemeyer's team. She hit a big shot off a missed free throw at the buzzer in a district semifinal. And then you have Kayla Meehan and Ashley Arbick-Anderson. That was a pretty good guard tandem they had in 06 there. Pat Bennett's first year with the varsity girls. Val Gage, she's on one of my all-time favorites. She put the pedal right to the floor every time. And Emily McLean, who was a very smart player, high IQ on the floor, a very good distributor of the basketball, and, of course, great athlete. She's a shot putter at Central Michigan University. Boys basketball, Robbie Guymond. You have Steve and Riley Angeli. Lucas Krupa, who, of course, a baseball umpire. I have him on the basketball list because he scored a buzzer beater in a regional semi, and I just liked how he hustled. Terrence Fuller, Justin Fountain, back to Fitz's second year, but his first that they made the district or won the district title. Justin Fountain would go through a wall for you. Tristan Johnston, a great perimeter player, a good ball handler, and Brandon Paul on the boys basketball list. Hockey, Tim Pace, going
back
a ways.
Going back a ways, that one.
Marcus Andery, the late Marcus Andery. We have to have a goaltender here, Nick McKenzie.
Yep.
We have Chase Gamlin, Drew Larson, and this is a guy I added this year, Andy Goodrich. Great stay-at-home defenseman. Baseball, Rico Castro. Rico goes back, of course, the early 2000s. He was on that Guam World Series, Little League World Series team. He was a Blue Devil and a great player. Jordan Perry at the hot corner. Kevin Killips. Nico Tarantino.
He was
a pretty good leadoff man. Logan Bailey, who had a great individual effort in the playoffs for Shane Thompson one year. And then they went to him along with young Shane Thompson. But we have Logan on the list, who is a tremendous infielder and a good pitcher as well. Craig Holt.
Yep.
Craig was a very good baseball player. And Vinny Feebles.
Vinny
was a three-sport athlete. He'd go through a wall for you. He's playing college baseball as well. Softball, I have Katie Fitzpatrick, Jenna Holt, and Audrey Smith, who will play college softball. And those are the Lunch Pail crew there. Of course, a lot of great players and a lot of great, just student athletes as well. And I'll do this every year, and we'll add to it, and we'll go through the list as we go, probably the season finale of the corner.
I like that list, Dave, and I think you're going to see once their athletic careers, I'm sure many of them are done with their athletic careers, feel a lot of good coaches on that list.
Yeah.
Jake Dave, I'll tell you what, I'd have my son be on his team in any of the sports he plays. I think he's going to be a tremendous coach if that's something he pursues.
Yeah, and, it's funny because Scott Menard said earlier this year that there was several times during the football season, and in particular in summer camp, he called himself College Jake Coach.
Right, exactly.
Because it was like having another coach out there. This, of course, is our final Coach's Corner of the year. Gets some thank yous before we exit stage left. Of course, we have thank yous and acknowledgments here. We'd like to thank our hosts here at Applebee's for hosting us, as always. They've been very accommodating, a very comfortable atmosphere here to broadcast the corner here in the sports bar, and the great gang here, it is taking care of us. We definitely appreciate it. Matt behind the bar has been very good to us here at Applebee's, and we thank him for that as well. Scott Nason, of course, Scotty guest hosted for me, came on as a guest as well, and of course, he helps us out by letting us come on his podcast site, thegamesportsshow.com. We put all the Blue Devil games on there, and of course, Coach's Corners, and we definitely appreciate you for that, Scotty. Always
my pleasure.
Great to have you on there, and great to have us on there. And also thanks to our IT director, Mike Spooler, chief engineer, Coral Howell. Without these two guys, the broadcast and the high-quality audio would not be there, and they certainly bring that to the table for us, and any issues we have, they're there to address them. Thanks to our broadcast engineers, Izzy Stratton did a good portion of the season, and a job well done. The Moose, Mark St. Angelo's done a lot of the month of March corners for us, and we definitely appreciate that. As Bill Crawford says, it makes you feel good when the boss comes in and will run a board for you.
It does.
Allison Miller, of course, helped us out when we were scrambling one week. We definitely appreciate Allie and for helping us out here for broadcast engineer duties as well. To all the guests here on Coach's Corner for coming on throughout the course of the year, we definitely appreciate it. We've had some we recorded, and we really appreciate the ones coming into Applebee's. Even in foul weather, a lot of folks made it in as well. Coach's Corner will return in late August. And, of course, thanks to our guests here today on the corner, Sioux High baseball coach, that's Chris Bontrager, and the voice of the Sioux Eagles and the game over on News Talk 1400, Scott Nason. The game this week will be on Tuesday.
Yep, Tuesday, 6 to 8.
6 to 8.
And you'll be there.
I'll be there. Dave McKeag, of course, Butch on sports with Butch Davis, also on the game on Tuesday. You have an Eagles game tonight and on Monday.
Correct.
Also on News Talk 1400 at 7 o'clock over on News Talk 1400 from the venerable Puller Stadium. Scott and Rob Horn will have that call. Scotty Nason and Rob Horn at the mic. And a reminder that replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation at 1230 WSOO for the gang here at Applebee's. Broadcast engineer, the Moose, Mark St. Angelo. For the final time this season, I'm Dave Watson. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.